Take your Bibles, if you would. I want to preach on this tonight. 1 Samuel, if you would. Familiar story. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, if you would. Very familiar story, David and Goliath. I'm sure you've heard it preached on many times. I don't have anything new to give you tonight. You have a fine pastor. It's a good man of God that preaches the Word of God. Many other men of God that have come through here and preached. And there's nothing new that I have for you this evening. But I do want to do this. I want to just set a challenge before you again this evening. I want to preach on this tonight. We need some more giant killers. We need some more giant killers. If you would, 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have that, let's stand in honor of reading God's word. 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to begin to read in verse 38. If you have that, wave at me, say amen, do something, let me know you're there. Are y'all there? How many of y'all are out there this evening? Now, how many of y'all want to make a Texan feel at home? Now, two things you're going to have to do. Every once in a while, fellas, you're going to have to say amen. So, all right, now, y'all help me out. Let me hear it. All right, that was pretty good. But y'all can probably do just a little bit better. Now, look, y'all want to make a guest feel at home. You'd hate for me to call Brother Hank and say, Brother, I just didn't even feel at home there. I was trying to preach. Nobody say amen or anything. That'd be an awful thing. Well, y'all'd be in trouble. All right? Man, he'd get in the pulpit fired up. Y'all, so, fellas, say amen every once in a while. You know what that does? That's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. Amen? It is. It's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. And not only that, you know what else it does when you amen your pastor? It does this. It says to the visitors that are here, hey, he's not the only nut here. I'm one too. Amen. Yeah. Hey, no, it says to the visitors, hey, I believe what he's preaching and I'm for it. Amen. Amen. And you ought to let folks know that you're supporting the pastor. Amen. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to start reading in verse 38. The Bible says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee. By the way, David didn't have a sword. It's by faith he is saying that. He said, I'll take thine head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let's pray and we'll look at the message. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we love you. God, we need you tonight. You're our God. Lord, no doubt there are many defying you today. And it's time that we rise up as an army. God, I beg you, please meet with us this evening. God, please speak to hearts. Call into service some giant killers from this crowd this evening. Maybe there's some that's not been involved like they ought to. God, please work in their heart in a way to help them to see the need of the hour. Lord, use the message. Direct my thoughts and my mind this evening. Help me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. In Christ's name I'd ask it. Amen. You can be seated. I thought as we left Rochester, Minnesota this morning early and are parked over in Kansas City and have had a long day, but as I was thinking on the day, I was reminded that David and Delight are at our missions conference right now. They're in Bourbonnais. And we have had the pleasure to be with David and Delight in several missions conferences. I know once in O'Fallon, Missouri, I believe, and down in Lafayette, Louisiana. And those are some good folks. Thank you for producing those folks. Thank you for helping them to have a burden for the lost in this world. I believe you can expect to hear of great things from David and Delight. But I just like them. Amen. They're just good folks. But anyway, let's get to the message. Listen, man, if you think about the story, here it is, this little red-headed, the Bible calls him a youth, is just doing what Dad said that day. Daddy told him, look, I want you to go down there and check on your brothers. I want you to take some provisions to them and take some to the captain. I want you to check on them, just see how they're doing there in the battle. David gets down to the battle. Of course, there's really not a battle taking place. As Goliath would come out each day and he would challenge the Israelites, just send one of you out to fight me. If y'all win, we'll serve you. If we win, you serve us. Here's the Israelites on one side of the valley, Philistines on the other. To me, it's a sad scene as the armies of Israel crouched in fear from Goliath. David comes up and Goliath comes out and begins to curse Israel and curse God. And you know the story. David says, man, what is going on here? Hey, who's going to fight him? Which one of us? His brother, Eliab, older brother, is embarrassed. Shut up, David. You need to be quiet. You're embarrassing me right now. David said, but that, didn't you just hear what he said? The guy defied the armies of God. He defied God himself. We can't let him get away with that. I'll go fight him if nobody else will. Man, I can see his brother. Is he? Man, he's just humiliated. Shut up, man. You little, come here. I'm going to put something on you Ajax won't take off. Amen. So the others begin to tell Saul, hey, David said he'd go fight him. So Saul said, man, bring him over here. And they begin to put his armor, Saul's armor on David. And, of course, Saul's a big man. And his armor doesn't even fit David. And he told him, I can't go with this stuff. I've not ever used anything like this. Let me just take what I know, and I'll fight him. David goes out there, and man, you can imagine, here's this 9-foot man and this little teenage boy. Goliath is, I think he was just about put out. And you send this little kid out here to fight me. David's kind of bold in his speech. He said, man, before this day's over, you ain't going to have a head, bud. And the rest of you going to be in trouble too. I'm sure Goliath just in himself laughed. Thought, what a joke. Come here, you little rugrat. David goes out there with his sling, and I can see his... David, look back in verse... Let me find it here quickly. Oh my. Verse 50. 49 and 50. Let me read that. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, slang it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. Now look at this. And he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, I'm not a engineer, not a scientist or anything like that, but man, I would think if that rock was coming from that way and it hit him in the head, he'd fall backwards, amen or not? Isn't that right? Wouldn't you? But I think God just kind of took that rock and smacked him in the head. Down he goes on his face. Man, it's amazing what God did. And I believe as Goliath faced David, and I can see all the rest of the Philistines in my mind's eye as David throws that stone and it hits Goliath and he falls on his face. I think all the Philistines are over there saying, oh, he's just playing with him. As David walked over to Goliath and he begins to take his sword out, I think the Philistine soldiers are saying, well, he's just playing with any moment now, he's going to grab him. Man, he's going to tear him limb to limb. Just, y'all watch. Look at what Goliath's going to do. And Goliath doesn't move. David goes over there, he pulls his Goliath's sword out of a sheath. And he raises that thing, and I can hear the Philistines. Get up, Goliath, hurry. Get up, man, you better grab that boy. I don't think they realized he was dead at first. Get up, Goliath. He's fixed it. Wham! My sword comes down. And I don't know about you. I think it's probably a pretty gory scene about right then. As David reached down, pick that head up. Ha ha! Amen. Huh? Yeah, you realize the rest of the day he's carrying that head with him. Man, he's holding that thing up. And you really, everybody gets excited. Man, the truth is, can I say no doubt, we have giants defying God on every hand. And I talked about it already. Leadership in our government, those in leadership in our courts, leadership in our public schools, leadership in a lot of businesses today. Listen, I'm not but 58 years old, but it would have never occurred to me that in my lifetime we'd have to stand up and fight a battle against a man being able to go into a woman's bathroom. That's not even reasonable. Yet you and I are facing that today. We're not speaking out like we ought to. Amen or oh me one. Even some in leadership of so-called churches are defying God. We need Christian soldiers who will stand against those. Stand and say, I'm of the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I'm of the God of the prophets and the apostles. We need soldiers that are prepared and equipped by God to fight for righteousness, to fight for holiness, to fight for truth, to live without compromise, surrendered to God's will and not your own. To say to Satan and to this ungodly world, I cannot be bought off with a bowl of pottage. Some giant killers, just like David. So who is a giant killer? Let me give you just a few things and we'll be done. Number one, giant killers are not your average soldier. Giant killers are not your average soldier. Can I say today, listen, look at verse 24. Verse 24, in chapter 17 there. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. That's an average soldier. That day, as the battle was supposed to be set in array, we had Israelites that's hiding. And I'm not going to face that guy. I'm not going to go out there and fight him. And I say we have churches with pews full of folks like that. That they defy God and we sit silently. They tell us we can't pray in school. You can't have the Ten Commandments down at the courthouse. You can't even, truly, they don't even want us to speak of the Lord in any way, shape, or form. And too many are complying with the world. Listen to David in verse 29. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him, talking about his brother, toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He a man of war from his youth." David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him, smote him, delivered him out of his mouth." And I say David was not an average soldier. Man, when David got on the scene, the truth is, things changed all of a sudden. Man, David stood up and he said, "Hey, there is somebody speaking against God, and we must defend God above all else." Today we have this contemporary Christianity. And I say, at best, they're producing average soldiers. Most of them are not even average soldiers. The modern day contemporary Christian lives with one foot in heaven and the other he's dabbling in sin. Carnal, worldly, materialistic. Just kind of playing with God. Compromising his testimony. Watching things he hadn't ought. Saying things he hadn't ought. Doing things. Going places he hadn't ought to go. You're not going to compromise and be a giant killer. You're not going to live with one foot in the world. Best you'll be an average soldier. Second thing I see is this. giant killers live with a purpose. Again, look back to verse 29, if you would. It says there, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Christian, let me ask you today, what is your purpose? What's your cause? What are you living for? We've got a lot today that, let's be honest, they're living to try to get to retirement. Well, if I can just get to where I can save enough money so that I can quit working and I can just lay around the house. Man, just kind of do whatever I want to do. A lot of Christians today that are, truth is, man, they're just living for money. That's their whole purpose. See how much money I can get gathered up in my bank account. Living for self. Folks, you're not going to be a giant killer and live for self. What is your cause? Is it to make money or is it to make a difference? Is it to gather things or is it to gather fruit unto life eternal? And we've got to get back, Christians, to where we're living for a cause. Man, the cause of the house of God. I still believe Jesus started the church there on the seashores of Galilee, and James and John, as he called Peter and Andrew there, this is what he said, follow me and I'll make you, what? Fishers of men. The purpose given for why we're here. I understand that we ought to come down here and worship the Lord. The Bible says we ought to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But as He started His church, called Peter and Andrew, he said, follow me. Fellas, this is the purpose. Fishers of men. Let me ask you, when's the last time you told somebody? When's the last time that you went knocking doors? And can I say that soul winning is not just a time and a place. Soul winning's a lifestyle. And do you have tracks on you right now? I mean, honest. Because you never know when you're going to have opportunity, amen or not. Is that right? We ought to always be prepared, amen. Now, y'all like being honest? Y'all help me now. You, as preachers, you hear that. They didn't even say they won't be honest. How many of y'all won't be honest? Amen. All right. Listen. How many of y'all get nervous when you think about passing out a tract or talking to somebody about the Lord? How many of you get nervous? My hand's up. I do. I get nervous. I got something for you. Ready? Look, first. How many of y'all go to Walmart? All right. Now, look. As they are walking out of Walmart, you get your track in your hand. As they walk by, throw it in their bag and run. Amen. You know what they're not going to do? They're not going to come, take it back. Amen. I mean, if you're scared, just throw it in there and run, man. Huh? You know what? I've noticed this as I get older. My hair gets grayer. I have to go to the doctor's office more. Anybody else admit to that? Sure. But when you go to the doctor's office, there's a couple of things. First, they give you an appointment, but that don't mean nothing. Yeah. They give you that appointment time. You go there, and you're going to sit there for another hour anyway. Just waiting to go to the next room to sit for another while. Amen? So, listen, you don't want to lose the appointment. Amen? And if you miss the appointment, it takes you 2 months to get another one. Amen. So this is what you do. When you go to the doctor's office, get you a pocket full of tracts. Amen. And, man, you pull up beside somebody. Hi, how you doing? And it's Grandma, Crampton? Compton, all right. How are you doing, ma'am? I'm Scott Netterville. What's your name? Grandma Compton, she said, let me give you an invitation to church. Now, look, this is what they'll do. When you start talking to them, they'll get up and walk off to the other side of the doctor's office. Follow them. Amen. They ain't leaving. They know it's going to take them 2 months to get another appointment. Amen. They ain't going nowhere. Just follow them. Amen. And if they get belligerent or something, find you somebody else. The truth is, though, folks, listen, we've got to get back to where we're in the battle. You young fellas, listen. Truth is, you got no, there's no excuse for not being a soldier. Man, if David can go stand and fight a physical 9-foot giant, surely. I mean, let's be honest. Don't we like to think of ourselves, fellas, as men? Amen or not? Isn't that right? That's God, I'm a man. Amen. Huh? But we're too cowardly when it comes to the things of God. We're scared to face a giant sometimes. Ought not be. We need some more giant killers. Now, what is your purpose? Purpose of a church, man, getting out and doing the work of the minister. What about the purpose of your family? Hey, mom and dad, what about the purpose of your family? Is there not a cause? Wouldn't it be great one day to see them come through those doors and that young lady have on a white dress and it means something? Amen or not? Huh? And by the way, to see the fellas walk in a white tux and it means something. Amen. I think they ought to be just as pure as the girl. Amen. Amen. Hey, the truth is our purpose with our family ought to be raising strong families for the Lord. And to where they grow up and they can't wait to get in the battle for God. Where their heart's desire is to be involved. Man, I want to be a bus captain. I want to be a Sunday school teacher. I want to be a preacher. Can't wait to get on the mission field. And I'm so thankful mom and dad raised me for the Lord. I have to be honest, I didn't get saved till I was 23. I grew up in church. I was a nursery baby. I rebelled. Rebelled against God, rebelled against my parents. You listen to me, I regret it. I regret it. But thank God for His mercy and His grace. It is a 23-year-old young man. He woke me up one Monday morning. He said, you're headed to hell. You better get saved. Thank God mom and dad had instilled in me. I knew what was going on that morning. I knew the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with me and I need to get saved. Hey, mom and dad, do your kids know the voice of the Holy Spirit of God? Have you taught them to listen to God? Hey, do you spend time in the Word of God with the kids? Is there a time set aside when we say, all right, family, shut all the electronics off. Everybody, come on. Let's gather around the Word of God. Let's spend some time reading. Let's spend some time praying. Teaching them how to walk with God. Listen, they may not be saved yet, but you can teach them how to walk in that book and walk with God. So that day that the Holy Spirit of God comes by and squeezes their heart, that they're ready. Man, you ought to. to place in your kids a hunger and thirst to love God, to desire God.
Amen.
Too many of our kids, let's be honest, they're growing up in Christian school. They hit 18 and graduate, and out the back door they go, never to be seen again. Leave mom and dad heartbroken. Saying, God, where did I go wrong? I'm telling you, that's how my parents felt. Thank God they kept praying for me.
Amen.
Thank God they continued to love me. I'll be honest with you, they couldn't let me live there at that house anymore. I defied them and I defied God. And they said, we love you, but there's a door. And I say, that's hard to do. But I promise you, 35 years ago today at 6:30 in the morning, I knew my dad was sitting at that counter reading his Bible and praying before he went to work. And I called him at 6:30 in the morning under conviction, crying like a baby. I still hear my dad as I'm telling him, I want to get saved. I want you to pray with me. And he thought somebody broke in my apartment and beat me up, took all my stuff. I said, no, I want to get saved. Would you pray with me? And when he understood, he said, yeah, let's pray. And he is so excited. I prayed and got saved that morning. He hung up from talking with me and he called my mom. She is already at work. He called her that morning. He said, you never guess what happened. Scott called this morning and asked the Lord to save him. Now, you think mom would say, hallelujah, boy, that's great. My mom said, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, my. Man, what's your purpose, mom and dad? What's your cause? Giant killers live with a purpose. Thirdly, giant killers know the presence and power of God. Verse 37, if you would. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Huh. See, David had already known God's presence and power before he ever faced Goliath. Something about a giant killer, he's prepared. Giant killers have already been walking with God. Truth is, when we know God's presence and his power, we can face anything. Didn't it say this? I think I read it somewhere. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So we watched the video earlier, and it starts off with a young man putting a chain on the doors of the church building. I've been there. Had to close a church before. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do in the ministry. I thank God it's a good Spanish work today. I'm telling you, it hurt. It's hard. But thank God that we were able to go through that, not quit. And now God be able to take that and use us to encourage others, to help them to keep their doors open. Listen, we can face anything. My wife's been through cancer twice. Man, fellas, you know what it's like to hear the doctor sit at the end of your wife's bed and say, ma'am, you have a malignant tumor. It's cancer. And your heart just fall within you. I thought, what am I going to do without my wife?
God, I can't face it. Thank God for a godly wife that, as I left that evening, man, heartbroken, wondering what I'm going to do. My wife got her Bible out. Begin to look up some promises on healing. Begin to look up promises on God's help. She's still here. Man was able to face that giant and battle on through it. Hey, can I say, Christians, we're going to face some hard things in life. It's coming. You're not going to live through this life and not be unscathed. You're going to face some trials. You're going to face some heartaches. You better know the presence and power of God before you ever face them. Many of us today, as you sit here this evening, you know many of folk that as they face the battle, they quit. Now they're not even in church where they could get the help that they need. We don't need folks to fall out. We need folks to fall in. Giant killers inspire and encourage others. Look at David's words. Verse 46 and 47, I'm just about done. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee. I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. Now turn over to verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a sword, or a stone, with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there's no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now look what happened because of what David did and what he said, verse 52. And the men of Israel, those hiding before, that crowd that was scared, now watch them. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. I said this, giant killers inspire and encourage others. Giant killers inspire and encourage. Man, listen, David walked out there and faced Goliath, took that sling, kills him, goes over there, pulls the sword out of its sheath, cuts Goliath's head off, throws it up in the air, and man, every Israelite soldier back there said, I'm going to get me one. That's God. If David can get him one, I'm going to get me one too. Huh? You know, your words and your actions can encourage and inspire others. By the way, folks are watching you. See, I wish they wouldn't. Too bad. Hey, have you noticed? Once you told the family you got saved, they pulled out their spiritual magnifying glass and started watching every little thing you do. And when you do something wrong, man, I mean, they abuse you. See, I knew you wasn't saved. I knew you wasn't a Christian. Look at what you did then. Man, you want to just throw your hands up around their neck. Amen. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Huh? Listen, folks. Our lives ought to inspire others to action. Our words ought to encourage others. You ever notice how sometimes in church something happens and everybody's there to just kind of kick them? Let's be honest, we as independent Baptists are really good at that. Man, did you hear what so-and-so did? Let's just kind of kick. Why don't you cut that kind of stuff out. Why don't you go by their house and say, hey, I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. And if there's anything I can do to be a help and to be a friend, I'll be here. Let me help you right here. I ain't met a perfect Christian yet. Every one of us still sin. Don't look at me like that. You know you still sin. I know you try to hide it. And you may not, others around you may not see it, but God sees it. You know, the truth is, God never expected perfection from us. That's why he sent his son. That's why he laid in eternity past the doctrine of forgiveness. He said they're still going to, they'll get saved, they'll trust me, but they're still going to foul up. Thus, 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, he's faithful, forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God. You know the difference between that fella that got exposed and you? You just didn't get exposed. And had you been, you'd been thoroughly embarrassed, humiliated. There are thoughts that go through your mind that are so wicked and ungodly. If we played them on the screen this evening, you'd run out of here so embarrassed, terrified, never to come back. Folks, we got to get back to loving folks, helping folks that are crippled and wounded. That's what giant killers do. They inspire others. They encourage them. They pick them up. And they say, look, you may have fallen out of the battle for a little while, but I tell you what, why don't you come on? I'll be your wingman. I'll fight with you. I'll help you. I'll be there with you. And let's spend some time praying together. Folks, when people get in sin, they're hurting. They need somebody that's got enough gumption and enough Christianity to come alongside and say, man, I just want to be a help. I just want to be a help. Let me just love you for a while. Don't y'all think that's kind of what the Savior would do? Just kind of love on folks. What do your words and actions do for others? Let me address quickly the young people. Some of you teenagers, and your tongue is so sharp. Some of the things you say can really hurt. It can cut people to the point that they get out and never come back. Well, you guard your tongue. Oh, guard your tongue. Let's close. Judges chapter 8. Turn over there. I want to show you a fella. How many of y'all remember a man named Jether? Actually, a young fella. Boy, about David's age. Anybody remember Jether? Let's look at him real quick. Judges chapter 8. By the way, Jether is Gideon's boy. You remember Gideon, he is the judge. But as he was down at the threshing floor, God comes along and he says, hail thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon starts looking around saying, man, who in the cat hair are you talking to? Because he knew he wasn't, he knew he wasn't brave. Now we have Gideon as he's been fighting, chasing a couple of fellas named Zalmunna and Zebah. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. He has caught Zebah and Zalmunna now. And they are having to face Gideon. These are fellows that had fought against Gideon and had killed some of his own family. Now listen to it, verse 18. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he, Gideon, said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Are you a Jether? Or are you a David? See, Jether had a sword. David didn't have one. He had one, but he didn't know how to use it. Scared. He did not know the presence and power of God. That's where many a Christian is today. They have the sword, but they're scared. We need some more giant killers. What do you want to be? You want to be a David? Or are you satisfied with being a Jether? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand to our feet, please.